Hi, Dave Emery here. This is For the Record program number 1170, BioPsi Apocalypse Now, part 25, the Oswald Institute of Virology. This is being recorded on December 19th of the year 2020. Before we get into the actual subject material, a couple of points. The latest iteration of the 32 gigabyte flash drive, which has all of my work for 41 plus years on the air, up through For the Record 1156, on the flash drive, also a mini library of old anti-fascist books available for download for free. The latest iteration of the flash drive is now available. Again, current as of For the Record 1156, which was done this past fall. And there is a link on the SpitfireList.com website to click on to obtain that flash drive. I don't get any money from that. Also, sister station WFMU is podcasting the For the Record programs, and once again, there is a link on the SpitfireList.com website if you want to subscribe to the podcast. Also, a correction. In For the Record 1156 and 1160, I erroneously said that the messenger RNA vaccines change the DNA, the genome, of the recipient's cells. That is incorrect. I thought that the messenger RNA then instructed or changed the DNA in order to produce the cellular changes that afforded immunity. Apparently, the mRNA directly manipulates the cellular machinery in order to produce the requisite proteins. If I'm not mistaken, the mRNA vaccines function rather like a retrovirus, which has RNA instead of DNA. But in any event, rather than altering the DNA, the mRNA actually alters the cellular machinery itself. This is not to say that there may not be some very serious side effects down the line. Indeed, sager and more scientifically adept minds than yours truly have warned of mRNA vaccines having some potentially very serious side effects down the line. I also don't feel at all comfortable not only with the speed with which the vaccines are being approved, although given what is happening with the pandemic, and we'll talk more about that in weeks to come, there really isn't a whole lot of choice. People are rather in the situation of being on top of a 12-story building where the first 10 stories are on fire, and basically you jump off and try to figure out in the next 2 to 3 seconds that you have left what you are going to do. Involvement of the military in the vaccines. Moderna's vaccine has been subsidized by DARPA, and indeed, DARPA has been deeply involved with researching bat-borne coronaviruses, and as we will see in this program, there is every reason to suppose that they have a hand in creating that. In For the Record program number 11, programs 1166 and 1167, we took a look at a number of military connections. An unnamed Defense Department official referred to by Moderna personnel as, quote, the major, unquote, has been overseeing this production, or the production of the Moderna vaccine. And even Moderna's people said they didn't know if his name was supposed to be secret. That is disturbing to me. Again, the Pentagon is not in the business of maintaining public health. They are in the business of warfighting, which is about killing people and destroying or appropriating property. We'll reflect more on that, but do note that error on my part in 1156 and 1160. The mRNA vaccines do not change the genome or DNA. Apparently the DNA vaccines of Inovio do that. But in any event, that also presupposes that there aren't some things in those vaccines that we don't know about. And I wonder about the possibility of gene drive technology. Supposedly that has not reached fruition, but historically military clandestine slash black budget military research has vaulted well ahead of what the public has been led to know. And speaking of what the public has been led to know, we will be talking about the deception vis-a-vis the assassination of JFK later on, and we'll be comparing what we have been told about the Wuhan Institute of Virology, partnered with the EcoHealth Alliance of Peter Bezac, courtesy of funding from USAID, a State Department subsidiary that is among the most common CIA covers. We will be talking about what the public has been led to believe and what has actually taken in place during the course of this broadcast. In the context of the ongoing debate about whether the COVID-19 producing virus SARS-CoV-2 has been made or could have been made in the laboratory, as I have noted and as we will see once again, any virus can be made in a laboratory with the contemporary technology. From an article in The Guardian of June 19th of 2018, this is by Ian Sample, S-A-M-P-L-E. Synthetic biology raises risks of new bioweapons, U.S. report warns. The rapid rise of synthetic biology, a futuristic field of science that seeks to master the machinery of life, has raised the risk of a new generation of bioweapons, according to a major U.S. report into the state of the art. Advances in the area mean that scientists now have the ability to recreate dangerous viruses from scratch. One more time. Advances in the area mean that scientists now have the ability to recreate dangerous viruses from scratch, make harmful bacteria more deadly, and modify common microbes so that they churn out lethal toxins once they enter the body. The three scenarios are picked out as threats of highest concern in a review of the field published on Tuesday by the U.S. National Academy of Sciences at the request of the Department of Defense. The report was commissioned to flag up ways in which the powerful technology might be abused and to focus minds on how best to prepare. Michael Imperiali, chair of the report committee and professor of microbiology and immunology at the University of Michigan, said the review used only unclassified information and so has no assessment of which groups, if any, might be pursuing novel biological weapons. Quote, "We can't say how likely any of these scenarios are, but we can talk about how feasible they are," he said. In the report, the scientists describe how synthetic biology, which gives researchers precision tools to manipulate living organisms, quote, "enhances and expands opportunities to create bioweapons," quote, "As the power of the technology increases, that brings a general need to scrutinize where harms come from," said Peter Carr, C-A-R-R, a senior scientist at MIT's Synthetic Biology Center in Cambridge, Massachusetts. More than 20 years ago, Eckhard Wimmer, W-I-M-M-E-R, a geneticist at Stony Brook University in New York, highlighted the potential dangers of synthetic biology in dramatic style when he recreated poliovirus in the test tube. earlier this year, a team at the University of Alberta built an infectious horsepox virus. The virus is a close relative of smallpox, which may have claimed 500 million lives in the 20th century. Today, the genetic code of almost any mammalian virus can be found online and synthesized. Quote, "The technology to do this is available now," said Imperiali. "It requires some expertise, but it is something that is relatively easy to do, and that is why it pops the list one more time. Today, the genetic code of almost any mammalian virus can be found online and synthesized. Quote, "The technology to do this is available now," said Imperiali, again quoting, "It requires some expertise, but it is something that is relatively easy to do, and that is why it tops the list," unquote. Something to be borne in mind, not only vis-a-vis the debate about whether the virus could have originated in a laboratory, but also as we delve deeper into and at greater length about the EcoHealth Alliance of Peter Daszak, which under a funding program provided again by USAID, as we have seen in the past, a State Department subsidiary agency that is one of the most frequent covers for clandestine CIA officers and operations. The Wuhan Institute of Virology, which is the focal point of a lot of right-wing propaganda and some not-so-right-wing propaganda about the virus, that is to say the SARS-CoV-2 virus having originated in the laboratory. And that program not only involved the WIV, which itself has had a partnership with the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases at Fort Detrick, itself closed down in early August of 2019 by the CDC for unspecified violations. But the aforementioned EcoHealth Alliance partnership with the Wuhan Institute of Virology also involved research done by Dr. Ralph Barrich at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, who synthesized a virus very similar to the SARS-CoV-2, as we have seen. One of the things we're going to go into EcoHealth Alliance and the fact that the Pentagon, not only the Pentagon and USAID, the main funding sources for EcoHealth Alliance, but they have gone to some lengths apparently to obfuscate that fact. One of the things that Peter Daszak is stumping for is something called a global virome project, in which this would be a $1 billion project, and no doubt he would be the beneficiary of some of those funds to research viruses around the world, supposedly to prevent against pandemics. But once those viruses have been identified and put online, their genome put online, they can be synthesized. And as we looked at in our series, for the record, programs 1157, 1158, and 1159 under the Ounce of Prevention series, among the Pentagon-financed programs of EcoHealth Alliance that is most exemplary is a $5 million program in Tanzania to research Crimean Congo hemorrhagic fever, a tick-borne viral disease. There has been one case of that disease in history, and that was back in 1986. And under that program, they are doing gain-of-function manipulations to make it more infective. As we have noted so often, the distinction between offensive and defensive biological warfare research is academic. If you are researching how microorganisms infect and sicken or kill plants, animals, or humans, it is the same research. And we have looked many times at Jonathan King observation from Gene Wars that frequented at the Pentagon minus intensive scrutiny. And when was the last time that took place? Is free to pursue its goals and to obscure offensive biological warfare research under more benign seeming guises such as vaccine research. One of the perhaps the most heinous and at the time sophisticated biological warfare programs was Unit 731, executed by Japan in World War II. It was termed the pandemic of the Epidemic Prevention and Water Purification Unit of the Kwantung Army. In fact, they were not there to prevent, but to cause epidemics. So keep that in mind. Now, we are going to be looking at an article from Independent Science News offered by Sam Husseini. And this is about EcoHealth Alliance and its obfuscation of its Pentagon and USAID funding. Several things are worth noting about this, and we'll go into this at greater length. But again, its primary funders are military, the Pentagon and the State Department's USAID, that's United States Agency for International Development, one of the most common CIA covers. And those two sources, according to Sam Husseini, total over $103 million. And the EcoHealth Alliance has been, shall we say, less than forthcoming. They have gone to some length to eclipse that funding, which is interesting in and of itself. Another fascinating detail, excerpting briefly before we read the whole article. BASAC's EcoHealth Alliance, by the way, this is from Independent Science News of December 16th of 2020. Peter BASAC's EcoHealth Alliance has hidden almost $40 million in Pentagon funding and militarized pandemic science, again by Sam Husseini from Independent Science News. And we see the following. BASAC's EcoHealth Alliance obscures its Pentagon funding. Only buried under their privacy policy, under a section titled EcoHealth Alliance Policy Regarding Conflict of Interest in Research, does the EcoHealth Alliance concede it is the recipient of various grant awards from federal agencies, including the U.S. Agency for International Development and the Department of Defense. Even this listing is deceptive. It obscures that its two largest funders are the Pentagon and the State Department USAID. These two sources thus total over $103 million. And of interest is one of the key advisors to EcoHealth Alliance. That is a gentleman named David Franz, F-R-A-N-Z, and he is the former commander of Fort Beecher. One more time, quoting again from this article. The military links of the EcoHealth Alliance are not limited to money and mindset. One noteworthy policy advisor to the EcoHealth Alliance is David Franz. Franz is former commander of Fort Beecher, which is the U.S. principal government, which is the principal U.S. government biowarfare biodefense facility. And of note here as well is the fact that not only does Peter BASAC have very high regards for Donald Rumsfeld and quotes Donald Rumsfeld's observations about terrorism in the context of pandemics. But Donald Rumsfeld is someone who has a significant background in this same context, as we have seen in For the Record 1138, among other programs. Donald Rumsfeld was, for many years, the chairman of the board of Gilead Sciences, the makers of Remdesivir. It now has a different brand name. That was a product originally developed to fight Ebola. It didn't work particularly well. It has been repurposed into a broad spectrum antiviral and has a minimal, well, I wouldn't say minimal, but a limited effectiveness with regard to COVID-19. And indeed, some European agencies are recommending that people not use Remdesivir. Remdesivir, as we have seen, was being tested on rhesus macaques in a program beginning in March of 2019 at the aforementioned U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases. Among the violations that led CDC to close down USAMRIIB for a time was the improper disposal of waste from non-human primates that were infected with a, quote, select agent, unquote, that is not named. That may have been the Ebola virus that we referred to, or it may have been something else, but we do not know. We do know that Donald Rumsfeld was chairman of the board of Gilead Sciences for many years. He left that position to become Secretary of Defense under George W. Bush. He hung on to a bunch of his Gilead stock, which soared in value when they came up with something called Tamiflu. I think it's oseltamivir, an antiviral that was apparently quite effective in combating H5N1 flu, which never fully materialized. However, the government, including the Pentagon under Donald Rumsfeld, bought a whole lot of that product, and that caused the value of Gilead Sciences stock to soar, and Donald Rumsfeld made a whole lot of money. And again, the USAMRIIB has a long-standing partnership, or has been associated professionally with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And the USAMRIIB was closed down in August of 2019. Note that David Franz, the former commander of Fort Beechick, is one of the advisors to EcoHealth Alliance. Something else to note is that the metaphor, the comparison that Peter Daszak uses between the pandemics and terrorist attacks is worth noting, because as we have seen in many programs, including For the Record 11, For the Record program number 186, counterterrorism has been used as a cover for intelligence operations that include the actual propagation of terrorist acts. We took a look at the Elbert George Bush's role directing quote counterterrorism, and he was succeeded in that regard by Donald Cheney, who directed quote counterterror projects under George W. Bush. Again, For the Record 186. And in some of our other discussions of the research of John Loftus on the use by then Vice President George H.W. Bush of networks set up to combat terrorism, counter-terrorism networks, to actually precipitate not only covert operations, but including some terrorist operations. I don't think, as we will plunge into this article, that it is much of a reach to see Peter Daszak's interest here as perhaps foreshadowing or perhaps eclipsing a similar duality vis-a-vis pandemics. We're now going to read the article as a whole. Again, this from Independent Science News of December 16th of 2020 by Sam Husseini. Peter Daszak's EcoHealth Alliance has hidden almost $40 million in Pentagon funding and militarized pandemic science. It reads as follows. Pandemics are like terrorist attacks. We know roughly where they originate and what is responsible for them, but we do not know exactly when the next one will happen. They need to be handled the same way, by identifying all possible sources and dismantling those before the next pandemic strikes. In projecting, again, once you have the genetic structure of a potential pandemic-causing pathogen, it can be synthesized from scratch. Continuing of that above statement. This statement was written in the New York Times earlier this year by Peter Bazak, B-A-S-Z-A-K. Bazak is the longtime president of the EcoHealth Alliance, a New York-based nonprofit whose claimed focus is pandemic prevention. But the EcoHealth Alliance, it turns out, is at the very center of the COVID-19 pandemic in many ways. One more time. But the EcoHealth Alliance, it turns out, is at the very center of the COVID-19 pandemic in many ways. To depict the pandemic in such militarized terms is, for Bazak, commonplace. In an October 7th online talk organized by Columbia University's School of International and Public Affairs, Bazak presented a slide titled Donald Rumsfeld's Prescient Speech. There are no knowns, quote, there are no knowns, there are things we know that we know. There are known unknowns, that is to say, there are things that we know we don't know. But there are also unknown unknowns, there are things we don't know we don't know. This Rumsfeld quote is in fact from a news conference. In the subsequent online discussion, Bazak emphasized the parallels between his own crusade and Rumsfeld's crusade since, according to Bazak, the potential for unknown attacks, quote, is the same for viruses, unquote. Bazak then proceeded with a not terribly subtle pitch for over $1 billion. This money would support a fledgling virus-hunting and surveillance project of his, the Global Virome Project, a doable project, unquote, he assured watchers, given the cost of the pandemic to governments and various industries. Also on the video was Columbia University professor Jeffrey Sachs, parenthetically, not only a member of the Sanders, that is Bernie Sanders Institute, and an advisor, economic advisor to AOC, but he was also the head guy of the U.S. government-funded Harvard International Institute, the Harvard Institute of International Development, which served Boris Yeltsin in a capacity not unlike the way Milton Friedman and his Chicago boys served the Augusto Pinochet dictatorship in Chile, and the effects of his counseling of Boris Yeltsin were absolutely disastrous. It sent the Russian economy back to the Stone Age, and one critic said of Sachs, quote, he is an emissary either of the CIA or Satan. I do not believe in the existence of Satan. One more time. We've spoken about Sachs's role in evaluating whether or not the virus could have come from a laboratory. Also on the video was Columbia University professor Jeffrey Sachs. Sachs is a former special advisor to the UN, the former head of the Millennium Villages Project, and was recently appointed chair of the newly formed EAT Lancet Commission on the Pandemic. In September, Sachs's commission named Bazak the head of its Committee on the Pandemic's Origins. Bazak is also on the WHO's committee to investigate the pandemic's origin. Bazak is the only individual on both committees. These leadership positions are not the only reason why Bezak is such a central figure in the COVID-19 pandemic, however. His appointment dismayed many of those who are aware that Bezak's EcoHealth Alliance funded bat coronavirus research, including virus collection at the Wuhan Institute for Virology, or WIV, and thus could themselves be directly implicated in the outbreak. For his part, Bezak has repeatedly dismissed the notion that the pandemic, quote, could have a lab origin, unquote. In fact, a recent FOIA by the transparency group U.S. Right to Know revealed that Peter Bezak drafted an influential multi-author letter published on February 18th in The Lancet. That letter dismissed lab origin hypotheses as, quote, conspiracy theory, unquote. Bezak was revealed to have orchestrated the letter such as to, quote, avoid the appearance of a political statement, unquote. Sachs, for his part, seemed surprised by Bezak's depiction of Rumsfeld, but Bezak reassured him, quote, it is an awesome quote, and yes, it's Donald Rumsfeld, Jeff, and I know he's a Republican, but what a genius, unquote. And the next section of the article, following the EcoHealth Alliance's mummy trail to the Pentagon. Collecting dangerous viruses is typically justified as a preventive and defensive activity, getting ahead of what nature, unquote, or, quote, the terrorists, unquote, might throw at us. But by its nature, this work is dual use, unquote. Biodefense, unquote, is often just as easily biowarfare, since biodefense and the products of biowarfare are identical. One more time, and I've said this many times. But by its nature, this work is dual use. Biodefense is often just as easily biowarfare, since biodefense and the products of biowarfare are identical. It is simply a matter of what the stated goals are. This is openly acknowledged by scientists associated with EcoHealth Alliance when talking about alleged programs in other countries like Iraq. For much of this year, Bezak's EcoHealth Alliance garnered a great deal of sympathetic media coverage after its $3.7 million five-year NIH grant was prematurely cut when the Trump administration learned that EcoHealth Alliance funded bat coronavirus research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The temporary cut was widely depicted in major media as Trump undermining the EcoHealth Alliance's noble fight against pandemics. The termination was reversed by the National Institutes of Health in late August and even up to $7.5 million. But entirely overlooked amid the claims and counterclaims was that far more funding for the EcoHealth Alliance comes from the Pentagon than from the NIH, one more time. But entirely overlooked amid the claims and counterclaims was that the far more funding for the EcoHealth Alliance comes from the Pentagon than from the National Institutes of Health. To be strictly fair for the media, to be strictly fair to the media, Bezak's EcoHealth Alliance obscures its Pentagon funding. On its website, EcoHealth Alliance states that, quote, a copy of the EHA Grant Management Manual is available upon request to the EHA Chief Financial Officer at Finance at EcoHealthAlliance.org, unquote. But an email to that address and numerous others, including Peter Bezak's, requesting that manual, as well as other financial information, was not returned. Neither were repeated voicemails. Only buried under their privacy policy, under a section titled EcoHealth Alliance policy regarding conflict of interest in research. Does the EcoHealth Alliance concede it is a, quote, recipient of various grant awards from federal agencies, including the National Institute of Health, the National Science Foundation, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the U.S. Agency for International Development, and the Department of Defense, unquote. One more time. Only buried under their privacy policy under a section titled EcoHealth Alliance Policy Regarding Conflict of Interest in Research, does the EcoHealth Alliance concede that it is the, quote, recipient of various grant awards from federal agencies, including the National Institute of Health, the National Science Foundation, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the U.S. Agency for International Development, and the Department of Defense. Even this listing is deceptive. It obscures the fact that its two largest funders are the Pentagon and the State Department's USAID, whereas the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which accounts for a minuscule $74,487, comes before either. Meticulous investigation of U.S. government databases reveals that Pentagon funding for the EcoHealth Alliance from 2013 to 2020, including contracts, grants, and subcontracts, was just under $39 million. Most, $34.6 million, was from the Defense Threat Reduction Agency, or DTRA, which is a branch of the DOD, which states that it is tasked to, quote, counter and deter weapons of mass destruction and improvised threat networks, unquote. Then the next section, most of the remaining money to EHA was from USAID, parentheses, State Department, comprising at least $64,700,000. These two sources thus total over $103 million. Another $20 million came from the Health and Human Services, $13 million, which includes the National Institutes of Health and Centers for Disease Control, the National Science Foundation, $2.6 million, the Department of Homeland Security, $2.3 million, the Department of Commerce, $1.2 million, the Department of Agriculture, $0.6 million, and Department of Interior, $0.3 million. So total U.S. government funding for EHA to date stands at $123 million, approximately one-third of which comes from the Pentagon directly. The full funding breakdown is available here and is summarized by year, source, and type in a spreadsheet format. PDF versions of this spreadsheet are available to download. The summary is here, and there's a link, and all federal grants and contracts are here. And then, the next section, more military connections. The military links of the EcoHealth Alliance are not limited to money and mindset. One noteworthy policy advisor to the EcoHealth Alliance is David Franz, F-R-A-N-Z. Franz is former commander of Fort Detrick, which is the principal U.S. government biowarfare biodefense facility. David Franz was part of UNSCOM, the United Nations SCOM, which inspected Iraq for alleged bioweapons, which were constantly referred to as WMDs, or weapons of mass destruction, by the U.S. government and the media. Franz has been one of those eager to state, at least when discussing alleged Iraqi programs, that, quote, in biology, everything is dual use, the people, the facilities, and the equipment, unquote. That from NPR, May 14th of 2003. By the way, we looked at the anthrax attacks of 2001 and their role not only in helping to set the stage for the invasion of Iraq, but also for an exponential increase in the funding for U.S. biological warfare capabilities. We did that in, For the Record, 1139. Continuing. just this year. Franz wrote a piece with former New York Times journalist Judith Miller, whose stories of Iraq, beginning again, just this year. Franz wrote a piece with former New York Times journalist Judith Miller, whose stories of Iraqi WMDs did much to misinform the U.S. public regarding the case for the 2003 invasion of Iraq. Their joint article, A Biosecurity Failure, America's Key Lab for Fighting Infectious Disease, Has Become a Pentagon Backwater, unquote, urges more funding for Fort Detrick. Miller and Franz are longtime associates. Miller co-wrote the book Germs, released amid the 2001 false flag anthrax attacks, which repeatedly quotes Franz. Miller at the time received a hoax letter with a harmless white powder, increasing her prominence. Franz continued hyping the existence of Iraqi WMDs even after the invasion of Iraq. While she was still with the Times, Miller quoted him in the story, quote, U.S. analysts link Iraq labs to germ arms on May 21st of 2003, pushing the theory that Iraq had mobile biological WMD units. This theory was debunked. Four significant insights emerge from all this. First, although it is called the EcoHealth Alliance, Peter Bazak and his nonprofit work closely with the military. Second, the EcoHealth Alliance attempts to conceal these military connections. Third, through militaristic language and analogies, Bazak and his colleagues promote what is often referred to as, and even then somewhat euphemistically, an ongoing agenda known as securitization, unquote. In this case, it is the securitization of infectious diseases and of global public health. That is, they argue that pandemics constitute a vast and existential threat. They minimize the very real risks associated with their work and sell it as a billion-dollar solution. The fourth insight is that Bazak himself, as the godfather of the Global Virome Project, stands to benefit from the likely outlay of public funds. And aside from the things that are said accurately in that article, one of the things that should be noted here, and I've touched on this in past programs, is the similarity to my mind of the paradigm involved here, and something that I think is really important for everyone to study, and that is the assassination of JFK. To make a very long story very short, Lee Harvey Oswald didn't kill anybody. He was a U.S. intelligence officer infiltrated not only into the Soviet Union, but into leftist groups in the U.S., given a left cover, set up and then for the assassination, even though he denied having performed the assassination. Supposedly, he was a leftist nut who killed Kennedy to get publicity, and yet he said repeatedly that he didn't kill anybody and that he was a patsy and had requested legal assistance. The official version of the JFK assassination is impossible, but it is worth noting that, as Professor Peter Dale Scott has formulated, there are a couple of levels of cover-up. One was the framing of Oswald as a leftist and thereby possibly precipitating a Third World War by initiating military action either against Castro and or the Soviet Union. Then, after Oswald the commie was debunked, then we said, well, he's just a lone nut. I think the Wuhan Institute of Virology has been set up in a very similar fashion, and I've spoken in the past about the panoply of covert operations and overt trade wars and sanctions that have been initiated against China. This is to be seen in that context of the new Cold War against China. And again, the Wuhan Institute of Virology not only has networked with the U.S. AMRIIB shut down in early August of 2019, as we have seen, with links to Gilead Sciences, Remdesivir, etc., as we have seen, but the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which is being singled out as the source of, well, they were working on bat-borne coronaviruses, and one may have escaped, they were partnered with BASAC's EcoHealth Alliance in a program funded by USAID, a common CIA cover. And Dr. Ralph Barrich, and I'm not necessarily pointing an accusing finger at Barrich, one of the things about this is that once someone has put something online, it can be synthesized by anybody, and someone can synthesize something that can then be misused by somebody. Also, for all I know, maybe Ralph Barrich is sinister in intent. I don't know. I'm not necessarily implying that. But the program here, obviously, is an intelligence/military program to manipulate bat-borne coronaviruses at the WIV in China. And I am convinced that the WIV was set up to take the fall for this pandemic, which has not only been a huge boon for big pharma and firms like Moderna linked to the military, but in a way that not unlike the Cold War and the escalation of same and the Vietnam War, was a huge boon for the defense industry, the so-called military industrial complex. And Kennedy, one of the reasons Kennedy was killed was because he was withdrawing the U.S. from Vietnam. In connection with the high-profile hacks allegedly perpetrated by Russia, and for the record, 925 and 926, I compared the setting up of Russia to take the fall for the high-profile hacks. A whole new level of high-profile hacks has taken place now to the painting of Oswald red. And I think that same paradigm is at work here. Hence, my terming the Wuhan Institute of Virology the Oswald Institute of Virology. It is so important for people to study the assassination of JFK. I've done many, many programs about that. The 25-part series of interviews with Jim DiGiamio, the brilliant author of Destiny Betrayed, goes into the handling of Oswald and the painting of Oswald red and the framing of Oswald, even long after his death, for the assassination of JFK. There is a book, one of a great many books about the assassination of JFK, has some very good material about the slaying of Officer Tippit, who may very well have been involved in the assassination itself and not just an innocent bystander allegedly killed by Lee Harvey Oswald. It's called Into the Nightmare by Joseph McBride, subtitled My Search for the Killers of President John F. Kennedy and Officer J.B. Tippit. It is published in softcover by the High Power Press of Berkeley, California. And in this book, there is a good discussion of the labeling of anybody who points a finger at the national security establishment as a conspiracy theorist. And indeed, BASAC, as we have seen, was very front and center to accuse anyone who pointed the finger at a laboratory origin for the virus as a conspiracy theorist. And I suspect we may see, and again, they're quoting from this article, in fact, a recent Freedom of Information Act by the transparency group USRIPNO revealed that Peter BASAC drafted an influential multi-author letter published on February 18th in The Lancet. That letter dismissed lab origin hypotheses as, quote, conspiracy theory, unquote. BASAC was revealed to have orchestrated the letter such as to, quote, avoid the appearance of a political statement, unquote. Now, he is a member of both commissions investigating the possibility. We may see him pointing the finger at, yep, the Wuhan Institute of Virology made the virus and it escaped. My guess is that we will see a Warren Commission-like cover-up and say, no lab origin for the virus, thereby not fulfilling the right-wing agenda of saying, yep, they made the virus at that laboratory and either accidentally or deliberately disseminated it, but also denying that there was any lab origin for this. And in many programs and posts, including the all-important Whitney Webb article we looked at, there is extensive information that just such viruses were under massive government, military, and intelligence community research. And I think to understand why I have turned to WIV, the Oswald Institute of Virology, we're going to take a look at some of what Joseph McBride has said in Into the Nightmare about the by now reflexive tendency of our media to go, ooh, conspiracy theory, McBride writes. There is such a stark difference in viewpoint between the average American who tends to believe in conspiracy and what film critic Jonathan Rosenbaum calls the media-industrial complex, unquote, that we seem to be living in two different realities. The media-industrial complex, unquote, includes people in power who vehemently, if irrationally, deny a conspiratorial version of history, automatically mocking anyone who subscribes to it as a, quote, conspiracy theorist, unquote, code words for a dangerously deranged fool, unquote. Uttering the phrase conspiracy theorist, unquote, is used as a convenient way of shutting down a conversation on a subject. And more in that vein. McBride writes, Into the Nightmare. People who pretend that conspiracies don't exist, when in fact they are among the most common modus operandi of significant historical change throughout the world, including in the U.S., become furious when their naive illusion is challenged. One more time. People who pretend that conspiracies don't exist, when in fact they are among the most common modus operandi of significant historical change throughout the world, including in this country, become furious when their naive illusion is challenged. They attack the messengers, conspiracy theorists, unquote, for proposing alternate accounts of reality. Not only do they attack, they demonize. The convention of portraying conspiracy theorists as crazy is a crude but effective way of stigmatizing them, ensuring that they aren't taken seriously by, quote, reasonable, unquote, people, and sending the message to the mainstream media that such people are beyond the pale. Dr. Schatz writes that for years he thought the unpunished assassination of Kennedy was a, quote, grievous wound to our democracy in urgent need of being exposed so the society could heal, unquote. But that he came to realize it was instead, quote, a wound against certain political forces in our democracy, but not to the democracy itself. In fact, I submit that the assassination was totally within the framework of how American democracy works. Much of Dr. Schatz's analysis is acutely insightful, but I would submit that the type of government he describes is not a genuine democracy, unquote, but a mere simulacrum of one to fool the public into acquiescence with war policies of dubious legality. And again, I think this applies to EcoHealth Alliance, Jeffrey Sachs, Peter Daszak, and the Wuhan, or as I call it, the Oswald Institute of Virology. Much of Dr. Schatz's analysis is acutely insightful, but I would submit that the type of government he describes is not a genuine, quote, democracy, unquote, but a mere simulacrum of one to fool the public into acquiescence with war policies of dubious legality. In the regime of George W. Bush following the stolen election of 2000, we saw the inevitable consequences of this lack of genuine democracy. The ultimate fallout from the 1963 coup on full, terrible display in domestic terrorism, illegal wars of aggression, and the stripping away of many of our basic civil liberties. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. persuasively demonstrated in a 2006 investigative report for Rolling Stone magazine that Bush and Dick Cheney also stole the 2004 election by committing fraud in Ohio. This anti-democratic trend in our country, unfortunately, did not end with the 2008 election of Barack Obama, which was thought by many to be a form of healing, but actually only showed that the changes in the system had become systemic and almost impossible to reverse. Our president's murder in broad daylight on a public street 50 years ago and the new government's refusal to bring his killers to justice meant nothing less than the end of our long experiment in democracy. We now live not in a democracy, but in what more might... We now live not in a democracy, but in what more accurately might be termed a limited police state, and that is the ultimate legacy of the coup of 1963. Indeed, and again, I think we'll probably see from the Lancet and WHO commissions, they may say, yep, Wuhan Institute of Virology, or the Oswald Institute of Virology, yep, they made the virus, the Chinese did it. My guess is that this will be attributed to natural causes, and that we will see the same sort of duality in the cover-up as we saw with Oswald, who at one level was painted, set up to be a communist, and then killed before he could reveal the truth. And then after the possibility of a Third World War was averted, they simply said, yep, it's a lone nut, nothing to see here, folks, move along. My guess is that we will see with Bezac and his participation on the two commissions, including with Jeffrey Sachs, a very interesting individual indeed, we will see something very similar. Nope, no lab origin of the virus here. In Into the Nightmare, Joseph McBride also notes how a managing editor of the New York Times, Turner Catledge, took the unusual approach of writing a letter to the editor on November 26th, objecting to the labeling of the murdered Oswald in the previous day's paper as, quote, assassin, unquote. And, again, noting that he had never been convicted. And McBride writes, the word alleged rarely appears in conjunction with Oswald's name in the mainstream media. The New York Times consistently attacks those who question the lone gunman theory. Why that leading newspaper has such a vested interest in following and propagating the official line after all these many years is a troubling question, reflecting the extent to which our, quote, free press, unquote, knuckles under to the government's propaganda needs. Yes, indeed. And it was the New York Times that published the Warren Report, and also the New York Times that has prominently featured Peter Bezac on its op-ed page. Again, it remains to be seen if they come out saying, if they go to level one cover-up, as Peter Dale Scott called it in the JFK assassination. Yep, look, it was Oswald. The commies did it. That could lead to a Third World War. And actually, if someone really investigated Oswald and the forces around him, he would have seen that he was set up by the forces who actually killed JFK. And the assassination of JFK, I think, is a very useful paradigm for assessing what we are looking at here. We are, however, all out of time. This concludes For the Record, program number 1170, BioPsyOp Apocalypse Now, Part 25, the Oswald Institute of Virology. This is being recorded on December 19th of the year 2020. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.